They said, did you hear us? And they're like, hear what? And so that's good. They're working. So thank God for that. So that's all paid for. We don't owe anything over there. So that's awesome. We paid cash for everything going on in the East Wing. Rather, you have paid cash for everything going on over there. And also this last month, we were able to pay off a $20,000 note on this building. So we are now under $100,000 we owe on this building. So that's awesome. So God is faithful, God is good, and if we all do our part and give faithfully and generously as His Word calls us to, we can do a lot. Because while paying this building off, we've built that building with about $250,000 or $60,000 of cash. So God is awesome, and He's good, and you guys are faithful and generous, and it's all because of you and your faithfulness to God that we can do what we do here at the Life Center. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you very much. So, hey, yeah. Make sure I have all my announcements out of the way. Flood relief, of course, everyone's doing a great job. Everyone's helping out, pitching in. Wayne will have some announcements at the end of service regarding some of the flood places or people to contact. So make sure you have your ears on for that. Also, highway cleanup was a huge success. Took us about 2 hours and 40 minutes. We found 3 wrenches, a horse brush, a deer antler. I mean, if you guys didn't show up for highway cleanup, you missed out. And my little one picked up a black garbage bag this big full of cans. So she's stoked because she's taking money to the bank. I haven't broke it to her yet that that's probably only $3 worth of cans, but she's excited. And she had a great time cleaning up the highway. So thank you to all who helped with that and were a part of, and for your generosity. This is a great body to be a part of and serve with. So thank you all very much. Even Kenzie's excited about it. Yeah. All right, that's all my notes. So we're in the Cross Point series, number 4. Guess which point we're on today? The top. The upward point of the cross. We finally made it to the top. This is an exciting one. I've titled today, Top It Off. We need to learn to top it off. If we take a moment and talk to God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we could be here today. God, in this great facility, God, in, out of the weather. God, in these comfortable seats. God, we thank you. God, for the many blessings and privileges, God, that you've given to us. God, we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds today to receive the truth of your word. God, that it would be planted in us, that it would cause us to sharpen ourselves, sharpen those around us. God, to grow and encourage one another. Father, we thank you for your word. God, the roadmap for our life. God, help us to understand it and know it more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've talked about the bottom point of the cross. We're grounded. We should be grounded in the Word of God. Sometimes we ground ourselves in other things. I was often grounded in my room and grounded to the principal's office. And so I've been grounded lots of ways, but the proper way to be grounded is in the Word of God. Ground your life in His truth, His principles, His value system. And then we talked about the left arm of the cross. If you remember, you're supposed to left it, right? That's proper English, remember? So whatever is going on in your life that's not of God, you're supposed to left it at the cross because that's what Jesus died for our sin. He paid our debt, so we're supposed to leave it to Him and not carry that burden around in our lives anymore. We're supposed to leave those negative thoughts and ideas, those negative belief systems that we've been living under, that aren't of God. And then the right arm of the cross. Jesus came to right it, or right our lives, as in a raft flipped upside down in a whitewater river. Jesus came to flip our raft right and to put all the pieces back together so that we could go on enjoying life, because it's a pretty high time floating on top of the rapids. But if you're separated from your boat and it's upside down and you have a whitewater yard sale going on, it's a mess and it can be scary and treacherous. But if you can get the raft of your life righted by Christ, the float can be fun and enjoyable again. How you can get through the rapids of life or the floods of Stites or the Middle Fork or Kamei or wherever was flooded this past week. But if we'll allow Christ to come in, that's what he came for, to right our life if we will allow it. And today, top it off. Jesus came to top it off. Have you allowed him to top it off in your life? And are you thinking with the proper top it off mentality that Christ came to give us? So you think about Jesus going to the cross. Of course, his disciples are excited. The whole country's excited. We've been praying for a king, and finally the king's arrived, and he's going to make everything right again. And now they're dragging him to the cross. They've whipped him, they've beaten him, they've imprisoned him, and now they're dragging him to a cross to crucify him. They lose all hope. It's like what we thought was happening isn't really happening. And it's not looking like it's going to get topped off. It's looking like it's going to get shut down. The disciples lost hope. They abandoned Jesus when they came to arrest him. If we don't have the proper top-it-off mentality, we'll abandon Jesus when things get tough in our lives. When our circumstances change and don't turn out the way that we thought they should or would. That's what happened to the disciples. They saw a future. They saw Jesus coming in, building an army, conquering the world, and making everything right again. In their minds, they didn't see him going to the cross to pay for our sin. In their mind, that wasn't how it was going to play out. But if we will trust in Christ enough and understand that faith is things not seen but hoped for, so what I'm believing for, I don't see how it's going to happen yet. I don't see the roadmap. I don't know how it's all going to get laid out. But I believe that God is good. I believe that God is over all. I believe that he's going to work things together for my good because I'm serving him with my life. Then we can have a top-it-off attitude that Jesus has. Do you know how big your God is? I often kick myself after a situation is over going, you know, I just didn't believe God was big enough. My thoughts and ideas of God were according to my perception and my experiences, not according to who he is. We have to think about who God is and what he has available to us. Jesus came to do the unthinkable. Jesus came to do the unnatural. It's not natural for a man to be crucified on a cross, to be laid in a tomb for 3 days, and then to rise again to life. That's not natural. He came to do the unimaginable, the unbelievable. Know that your God can do more than you can imagine or think, and have faith that it can happen and believe that it can happen. Today is Palm Sunday. So a week prior to Jesus' resurrection, prior to his crucifixion, Jesus is heading into town and he says, go to so-and-so's house, go and ask for the donkey and its colt, because I'm going to ride it through town. So Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king. And they're worshiping him and praising him. They're laying their cloaks on the ground before him. And for them it was a great sacrifice. They didn't have walk-in closets. They didn't have a big unlimited wardrobe. They had their cloak. It's like you saw them a mile off coming and you said, oh yeah, that's Bearclaw. I recognize his cloak. You said, oh yeah, that's Arby. I recognize his cloak. Because you had a cloak. But they were taking off their cloaks and lining the street, laying them before Jesus' feet in worship and adoration of who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They were cutting off the palm branches, and from what I understand, it's a pretty hot place. They're cutting their shade down. They're sacrificing shade to worship the Lord, or they're sacrificing their security or comfort to worship the Lord. To say He is the King of Kings. And something else that's pretty unnatural is He's riding a colt. No saddle, no bridle. Usually you don't ride those things. They ride you. Jesus came to do unnatural things. Unbelievable things. If we can believe big enough, if we can have big enough faith, if we can let Him come in. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you notice it starts out, therefore. So before that, it's talking about Jesus' humility and how we're supposed to imitate Him in His humility. He left heaven, came to earth as a man, humbled Himself as a servant, didn't consider Himself equal with God at that point, or at least to use it to His advantage. And if you remember on the cross, what did they put above His head? This is Jesus, King of the Jews. What is the name of Jesus? It's the name that's above every other name. It's the name that has power and authority in the spiritual realm. And if you notice, it's topped off with Jesus. All of our sin, all of our transgressions, all of our pain, all of our suffering is below the name of Jesus. And if we'll top off our lives by allowing Christ to come in and not just be our Savior, but also be our Lord, then guess what? The name of Jesus is over my life. The name of Jesus is what God looks through when He looks at Arby. And He doesn't look at my failures. He doesn't look at my wrongs. He doesn't look at my sins. But He looks through His perfect Son, Jesus, and says, yeah, I like Arby. He looks good through Jesus. You look good through Jesus too. But you've got to allow Him to top off your life. Can you let Him do that? Maybe. Sometimes our perception of topping it off isn't correct. Has anyone ever overfilled a glass of milk? Okay, three of you, probably 100 of you are liars. And I heard this morning, God detests a lying tongue. I was pulling a joke on someone and they said, you're lying. And then they went on to tell me, you know what the Word of God says about liars? God hates them. It's like, ouch. But I was joking. Pastor got burned this morning. I had to repent. But what happens when you spill a glass of milk because you overfilled it? You get irritated. You get agitated. And then you have to clean up the mess. And hopefully it didn't run behind the stove and down the back of the wall where you can't reach and you have to smell it for several weeks. But if we're going to top off a glass of milk, we go up just below the brim, right? If we're going to top off a glass of water, we go just below the brim, right? If you're going to top off your gas tank, do you usually pump it until it runs out? No, because supposedly inside the trigger or handle, there's a mechanism that shuts it off before it backfeeds. Well, I was down at the pit stop one day and I pumped my gas and I was in a hurry, so I went in to buy a couple other things and just left the pump running. And when I got back to the counter, the clerk goes, well, how big's your gas tank on that Corolla? I said, oh, 10, 12 gallons. He goes, oh, well, you've pumped 27 gallons. The mechanism didn't work. And for me, it was a great irritation. I just pumped 15 gallons of gas that I can't use. That's now a biohazard to the public, to the environment. And the clerk goes, yep, that's why you're supposed to stay out there. But that's the kind of top it off God wants to give us. He tops it overflowing. We're going to look at a couple verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. Of course, this whole passage, the first half of chapter 28, is blessings for obedience. So if we make Christ our Lord or our King, that means we sit under Him, and now we're obedient to what He's called us to do. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Now if I could just discipline myself enough to always obey the Lord's commands, look at the promises He has in store for me, to always be at the top and never the bottom, to always be the head and never the tail, to pour out from the storehouse of heaven, not the storehouse of the U.S. government, not the storehouse of the world, but the storehouse of heaven, meaning His supplies are unlimited that can flow into my life, but I have to start acting like I have a God that has supplies enough to meet my needs and the needs of those around me. So that I start looking at myself as topped off, as it's overflowing. I am blessed to be a blessing so that it can flow out of me to those around me. Another passage we'll look at in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Did you hear that? It said they'll be filled right to the brim. No, He said burst, overflow. It means more than you can contain. So what do you do with more than you can contain? We just saw what would happen in sites. It would flow onto your neighbor's place, and it would flow onto his neighbor's place. What if in the spiritual realm, we began to walk as children of God that carried the blessing that wherever we went, the blessing overflowed and flooded our neighbors with kindness and with joy and with love and with mercy and forgiveness. And yes, even financial blessings could overflow from me to those around me. It's tax season. Right? Everybody loves tax season. Tomorrow's the last day, so if you don't get in, get an extension filed. I was looking at my taxes. I look at my taxes, of course, because you have to do them, right? But I like to look at how much did I give this year in tithe and offering, in generosity. Does my tax stub or the papers I have to take to my accountant reflect that I believe what I'm preaching? Does it reflect that I'm generous with my finances? And I was thinking a few days ago, I was sitting there thinking about how much we're giving. I was like, you know, we have given in tithe and offering and to different organizations more money this year than when I started working 20 years ago at 18, than my whole annual salary was. And guess what? We're suffering. We don't have things. No, we're blessed. We're blessed with health. We're blessed with vehicles that work great. We're blessed above and beyond. We're giving away more money now than we ever have been able to. And we have more blessings now than we ever been able to. We were at an auction last night. There was lots of things. Kathleen's like, well, do you want anything? Do you want this? And I was like, you know, really, we have more stuff than's here, probably. It's like, because it was a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation benefit. And I'm like, you know, I've been guiding for 20 years, so I have lots of hunting stuff. And a lot of it's been given to me, a blessing from the hand of God. God will bless you. You cannot outgive the Lord. But what you can do is be obedient to His word when He says give, and you give. Because He will bless, bless, bless you. I promise you. And you know what? When I was this big, my mom and dad started teaching me the value of tithing. When I would get a birthday card from grandma, it would have an ironed out, crisp $1 bill in it. And we would go get a dime out of our piggy bank. And we had a little jar that was, we put our tithe in, and they would bring it in every once in a while. So you would go get your dime, and you would put it in the tithe box to be ready to take into church someday. And we just learned that principle from a child, and it never hurt me to give God. And some of us, we have the wrong perspective about tithing. It's like, God wants to take 10% of my money. But the proper perspective, if we get topped off and make Christ our Lord and King, it's like God just gave me 100% of 90%. God gave me gifts and talents and skills and abilities to be able to go earn an income. And He's allowing me. So He's keeping 10% and giving me 90%. That's how we should be looking at it. Because we can't outgive the Lord. I promise you, try it. He will bless you. And the enemy will attack you. There's that verse in the Bible that says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And then we complain about weapons formed against us. It's like, you know, the Bible says they're going to form weapons against you. And it does say they're going to be used against you and they're going to come at you. But they will not prosper. So you have to stand on that end of the promise. The Bible warns us time and time again that the enemy will come against us. He will come with a battering ram and he will hammer and hammer into your life. But you've got to know that your God came to do the impossible. He came to do the unbelievable. He came to do the unthinkable, and He's fighting for you and He's not against you. And the weapons of the enemy will not prosper. Will not prosper. Amen? God is super good. I have so much material today. It's great, isn't it? You guys don't have to be anywhere till 2 o'clock, right? Well, I do, so we won't go that late. Right here, Matthew chapter 6. There's a verse I often reflect upon. Am I doing this with my life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This passage of Scripture is titled, Don't Worry. It's talking about the food we'll wear and the food we'll wear. Only after food fights do you wear food. The food you will eat, the clothes you will wear, the homes you will live in. And God's like, I take care of the flowers and they burn up in the fires. They die every year. I take care of the birds and they're sold for a few pennies. Don't you think I will much more take care of your needs? He says, if you'll put me first in your life, if you'll seek me first, I'll take care of everything else. And sometimes we do pretty good at this and we seek God first and He's taking care of us. And then all of a sudden we think we're taking care of ourselves. And we say, step aside, Jesus. I got this. Which is called what? It's pride. Pride comes in and we think, oh, look what Arby's doing. He's amazing. There, one person laughed at me. But we start thinking, it's all me, and look how great and wonderful I am. And it's okay to acknowledge the gifts of God in your life. And yes, you can be super talented in your field. But what happens is it transitions from God's glory to Arby's glory. And when that happens, I'm no longer getting topped off. I'm getting shut down. And pretty soon all the misery and the failure starts ramping up around me, and I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why would you allow this to happen? And we feel rejected. We feel abandoned. Why would he leave me? And we forget to look at ourselves and go, well, maybe it's me that left him. Because if God's getting further from you, it's not because he's going anywhere. It's because you went somewhere. And you need to return to having Christ as your headship, as your authority, as your counsel. Because he's still right where you left him. He's still waiting for you, saying, come on. Come on. I paid the price. Your debt's been paid. You have a road to heaven. It's through me, Jesus. Come on. There ain't no mountain high enough, no valley low enough to separate you from the love of God. But you've got to get back to him, because he's always waiting for you. Jesus is so thanking of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 15. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, the work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. Now, our works don't save us. They don't get us into heaven. Accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as your ticket to salvation in heaven. But Jesus does say your works will be tested. They will have to go through fire. And I want to reward you for all of eternity for what you've done for my name, for my kingdom. So I often weigh what I'm doing with my life. Am I creating wood, hay, and stubble? Or gold, silver, and precious stone? Because Jesus wants to top you off, even in eternity. He wants to continue blessing you. He wants to continue giving to you. Now, it's better to just barely get into heaven than not make it at all. But Jesus says, that isn't what I have in store for you. I have more available for you. We need to think more in our minds. Overflowing is a good thing. Sometimes we have this poverty mentality as believers in Christ Jesus, and say, well, if I can just suffer through it, and you may have those seasons of life, and God is good regardless of what situation we find ourselves in, but I believe God wants to give more to us. I believe God wants to bless us more often so we can bless those around us more often. Because if I'm barely scraping by, I can't help anyone else. I can just barely meet my needs. But if God's pouring more into my life than I can contain, I can start spreading it around and blessing those around me. And I believe that's what God wants us to do with those around us. And this body of believers does it, and does it well. We've proven that this week. You've showed up on doorsteps, showed up to people's houses you didn't even know. What can I do? Where can I start? Who can I help? I went to lots of houses this week. I had no idea who the people were. Somebody just said, there's a house up there. Go see if they need help, or they do need help. And you just show up. You just love on people. Because we have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities. We should use the blessing of the Lord in our lives to bless those around us. It should be an outpouring, because the more we pour out, the more God pours in. Some of us say, well, God never gives me anything. What have you given away? We were in a service once, probably 8-10 years ago. I felt God asked me to give the speaker $1,000. I'm like, I don't have $1,000 to give God. He said, I want you to give $1,000 in this offering. I was like, okay, how do I tell Kathleen? Do I do it and ask forgiveness, or do I ask beforehand for permission? Right? You're walking that tightrope. What do you do? So, well, I serve God. He's my king. So I'm going to be obedient to what He's calling me to do. And there were other times I wanted to give $1,000, and God said, no, this isn't your offering to give in. My obedience was to not give, which I really wanted to give. But our obedience is better than our sacrifice every time. Sometimes God will ask you to give, and sometimes He'll ask you to not give. But what He's asking you to do, do it, and do it with all your might. Because He will bless you. He will reward you. I was going to read Psalms 96, but due to time restraints, we're not going to read it. But it's just a passage about rejoicing and giving thanks to God. And it says, even the trees, even the hills, even the seas, even the streams will cry out and rejoice about my goodness. If we won't sing, the mountains will sing. If we won't cry out, the rocks will cry out. But just every day, giving God praise for who He is, because He is Jesus, the King. If you'll top off your life with that authority over you, you don't have to fear anything. Because even in death, we have victory. Even in Jesus' death, we have victory. He paid the debt for all my sins. I don't owe a thing, but I do have to repent. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. There was a rich young ruler Jesus was talking to, and he says, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He says, well, starts going through the Ten Commandments. You know, well, you can't commit murder, you can't commit adultery, you can't steal, you can't lie. He goes, oh yeah, since my childhood, I've kept all those commands. He says, what else can I do? He goes, well, there is one thing you lack. He goes, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And this was a very wealthy young man, and he walks away sad because he was topped off by his wealth and what he had acquired. And Jesus wasn't Lord of his heart. Wealth, probably back then it was camels and goats and donkeys, sheep. But there was this other young man, a man named Zacchaeus. Jesus is coming through town, and Zacchaeus climbs in a tree so he can see him. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, short, so he had to get in the tree to see. Jesus gets under the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus, another very wealthy man, he says, all right, Lord, but here and now, I give half of everything I own to the poor, to the widows, the orphans. He just immediately says, I'm giving half of everything I have away. And if I ever cheated anyone out of anything, I'll repay it four times what I've taken. Because his heart had transitioned from my wealth as my headship to Jesus, the King, is my headship. The Lord had his heart. He said, even if I have all this stuff, it means nothing without you, Jesus. And for Christ to top off your life, you've got to come to that point. Even if I have nothing, but I have you, Jesus, I've won. I have victory. And if you can get to that place in your life, it's so freeing, because things are just things, and they come and they go. But Jesus will remain, and He remains faithful. day by day. And Jesus asks us to be stewards over that in our lives. He wants us to take care of things in our life. He wants us to manage it well. Probably 20 years ago, I was working. We were bucking bales, putting hay up. We'd put a few hundred bales in the barn, and we were probably getting, I think it was one of our last loads. We had 100, 150 bales on the trailer, and we're going through the field, and the outfitter I worked for then, he asked my brother-in-law to pull the truck ahead to the next stack of hay. My brother-in-law says, okay. Goes and jumps in the truck and starts the jackrabbit. And we're on a side hill, and the whole load, all but about 10 or 15 bales, just... We're like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I've never driven before. This is what happens when we take charge of our own lives. When we try to be our own Lord. Jesus has already been through it. He's already done it. He's already taken it to the cross. He says, bring it to me. I'll carry your burden. I'll carry your load. I'll pay your debt. But we say, yeah, I think I can drive now. And then we have this wreck happen all around us that we've created, and we blame Him for it. So then we turn our backs on Him and say, well, if that's the kind of God you are, I'm not serving you. But really, it was our mistake. It was our wrong. We jumped in the driver's seat when we had no business being in the driver's seat. He says He'll give us counsel. He says He'll give us wisdom. And He's even written it down in a roadmap for life. But we've got to apply it. Do you guys have time for one quick story? Because God wants to top you off. So I was hunting a couple years ago in the fall. It was opening day elk season. We're climbing up this suicide hill. It's about that steep. We're getting up there, and I let out a couple cow calls and bugle, and we're climbing. I do it again, and finally we get a response. It's like, oh, good. So we keep climbing. He's still way up the mountain from us, and we keep climbing and talking back and forth. Pretty soon I pop over the hill and I say, bull. And my guest, he comes along, gets on the shooting sticks. And how far is it? Like 272 yards. And it looked like a pretty good elk. I didn't know how big it was, really. I just saw pretty good antlers, and let's shoot him. So he pulls up and he shoots, and we get the elk, and he rolls down in the creek, and we go walking over there, and I'm finally get to the elk, and I can see it laying there, but I can't see antlers at all. And what I saw was pretty good headgear. And I'm like, how did we shoot the wrong elk? It looked like we shot the right elk, but there are no antlers on this elk. This is a bad place to be as a guide. How do you explain to your guests they just shot the wrong elk? But the creek bottom was so muddy, he had fell in the creek and buried his whole antlers in the mud. And we pull it out, and it's this huge six-point bull, and he says, well, is that a pretty good one? I said, that's a really good one. I'm like, it's way bigger than anything I've ever killed. And we could have stopped right there. And the rest of the week, the weather was pretty nasty. It was rainy, it was sleety, it was haily, it even got snowy. And we could have sat around camp and enjoyed and said, you know, that's wonderful, we got this elk, and people hunt their whole lives and don't get an elk like this. And he goes, well, it's my first elk. And we could have just sat there and reveled in that. And often that's what we do with God. We just enjoy one moment and think, wow, that was fantastic. That's all you have in store for me. I've hit the peak. Or life gets a little bit tough or challenging, or the rain, because it was a beautiful sunny day, opening day. And the next day it was rainy and nasty. I had to go pack it out in the rain, and it was nasty, muddy, slippery. And we could have just, well, the weather's not so good. Let's not go out and experience. But no, he said, you know, let's keep hunting. We got a wolf tag and a bear tag and a deer tag, a mountain lion tag. Let's just keep going. So we kept going out in the rain, in the muck, and some of our hunting companions didn't want to go out when it wasn't so pleasant to be out there. And we're coming in one night, walking back to camp, and I see up ahead in the pond, there's a ripple, and I see a tail. And I thought mountain lion at first, because it had just come through the pond, and its tail was all skinny like a mountain lion. But it popped out of the brush, and I go, wolves. So we get ready, and they pop out in the opening. I'm telling him to shoot the black one, and he goes, I'm on the white one. Boom! The white one falls over. And he hands me his rifle and goes, here, you shoot the black one. So I go, boom, shoot the black one. But we couldn't have experienced that if we would have let the storm keep us in the tent. And you can't experience God topping you off to overflowing if you just accept a little blessing and then when things don't look so good, you stay in the tent. You've got to get out. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep pressing forward because God is good anytime and every time. And you can't let outside circumstances affect your vision, affect who the top is, because the top is still Jesus, the name above every other name, that every knee shall bow to, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. He's still good. So keep getting out of there. Get out of your tent, your comfort zone, your luxuries. Press into what God has in store for you. Don't be afraid, because God wants to top you off according to His riches in glory. He wants to pour out of His storehouse in heaven to your life. So get out of your tent. Trudge through the storms of life. Experience being blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Amen. Wayne, would you come, please?
Thank you, Aubrey. And may we be wise and worthy and also grateful stewards over all that God does provide us. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's take the